thief had targeted something in one of the other vaults, shutting down hers in the process. A quick scan proved that theory false. There was no one out there at all. Almost she gave up there, chiding herself for overreacting. The distraction she had created wouldn't last forever, and she didn't want Master Kratos to worry too long. Part of the point of telling him that the mission would be difficult was to surprise him when she pulled it off quickly. The thought filled her with anticipatory satisfaction. Before rising, she cast a quick mental look through the circular security airlock outside the antechamber. Her face twisted into an immediate scowl. Jedi. She would recognize that humorless and inhibited mental stench anywhere. A single specimen had bypassed the alarms and burned through the locks on the outer door. That was impressive work, but he wasn't moving fast enough. She could cut her way under the vault and up into the antechamber long before he had the inner door open. And then, when he did, he would get a whole lot more than he bargained for. Grinning, she moved from cross-legged to a crouch and began melting her way through the last barrier standing between her and her enemy. Chapter 12. Dow's driver used a dense adhesive web extruded from a nozzle on his left cuff to lash Ula and Jet into their seats. The dining room he had led them to was empty, containing nothing but chairs and a table, but as befit the palace of Tassa Barish, these were fine examples of precious materials and design, and therefore too sturdy for the prisoners to break. Ula's head was pounding with the after effects of the reactor core, but he noticed the gleam of metal revealed when Stryver welded the door shut. Durasteel, most likely, also befitting the palace of a hut. All manner of safety-conscious criminal celebrities might have eaten in this room. And died here, possibly. Ula tested the bonds and found them to be immovable. His fingers were already going numb.
"You know my name,"
said the Mandalorian, standing over him.
"How?"
Trying and failing to suppress a stammer, Ula described the report received by Supreme Commander Stantors from Grandmaster Satil Shan. That was where the Mandalorian had first been identified to him. He had no compunctions about revealing the extent of the Republic's knowledge, since it would assure Stryver that little else had been uncovered about him, or Lima Zandret.
"Will you untie me now?" Ula asked him.
"The only reason you're still alive is because there's no honor in killing you, and no advantage either."
The Mandalorian towered hugely over him.
"That could easily change."
Ula fell back into his seat and closed his mouth. Jet sat in the chair next to Ula, staring unflappably up at their captor.
"I assume you know me from somewhere," he said. "Did I ruin your sister's reputation? If so, I'm afraid she was quite forgettable."
Stryver didn't rise to the bait.
"Captain Nebula, I'm told it was you who spoke to the crew of the Cynthia."
"Who said that?"
"A former crewmate of yours called Shinko."
"He'd say anything to get your blaster out of his face."
"My assessment precisely. Is what he told me true?"
"How do you know I'm any different from him?"
"I'll be the judge of that."
"Why you want to know? What's so important that you go halfway across the galaxy to find it out?"
"Just answer my questions, Nebula. What did they tell you?"
"Do you mean what? Or how much?"
Ula didn't understand why Jet was making things more difficult than they had to be.
"I've heard the recording," Ula said. "They didn't..."